from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Justin Fields, he gets the most out of his players. They just traded the quarterback they drafted in the first round 2 years ago. Well, I'm at 9-8 right now, but I'm pessimistic about this much. So you'd say 9-8, you'd say, well, why aren't you technically on the opposite side of the ledger there and you're an optimist? Do I think that they are going to be appreciably different than any version of them we have seen since, you want to call it 2018 with me, when they looked like a threat going down the stretch and then Juju fumbled it all away in New Orleans and then AB no-showed the last game? Is that fair? Can you and I agree that that's the last time they appeared to be a real threat?
I feel like their whole organizational trajectory changed the night that Ryan Shazier got injured. And really, ever since then, the immediate consequences of that was you had to play a guy like Sean Spence, who had come back from a horrible knee injury, and guys like Arthur Motes at Inside, love Arthur, but you had to play guys who were not Ryan Shazier to piecemeal that position to get you through that year, and it was exploited by Blake Bortles, of all people, and you got embarrassed in a playoff game. And since then, you have not been... I mean, you had the longest streak in the NFL in 2020, but then...
No one believed you were for real.
But then, yeah, and then
They were proven right.
In the last month of the season, they looked like a bad football team.
I thought the team in 2018, had they gotten to the playoffs, would have been a problem.
I agree with that, too.
So I don't agree that
the
trajectory...
But they didn't, because they lost games to Denver and Oakland.
I think they're... Okay, so if you believe their trajectory changed in Cincinnati the night Shazier's career ended, I think their trajectory changed irrevocably in New Orleans on December 23rd, 2018. Because that is, for me, the day that they went from a team no one was going to want to see if they got in, the vaunted, truly dangerous team heading into the playoffs, to a team that was just an also-ran at that point. And
they've gone into the playoffs, and they've been a sacrificial lamb. We didn't look at the Steelers-Browns playoff game that way, but that's
ultimately
what happened.
Because they, well, everyone thought the Browns would do Cleveland Browns things, and the truth was the Steelers went in there and looked every bit like the team that had barely scraped together a win to get into the playoffs in those last, four or five games. I think it's going to be more of the same. They have been in quarterback purgatory in one way or another since really 2018, or since Roethlisberger's injury, I would say. He came back a completely different player. They've never been a threat in the playoffs since probably, I guess, 2017, I'd have to say. At least, this is my opinion. They continue to spend handsomely on defense when the league is going more towards find offensive players to give money to.
And yet you don't want to pay Pat Freiermuth, but that's okay.
Yeah, pay really good offensive players money.
They don't have any, Chris.
Pickens is a better offensive player.
He's not up for a contract yet. Okay. You're not allowed to negotiate with him after only 2 years.
I'm saying I'd wait and pay Pickens if he has a good year.
Salary
anyway.
Cap is going way up. You can do both, but continue.
Why are you carrying a torch here for Pat?
Because
I don't feel like relitigating the last hour of the show. Forget it. The bottom line is, why am I pessimistic? Because they'll probably go 9-8, but they appear, in terms of their franchise DNA, to be no different than they've been for
the last
5 years.
Donnie, you are a season ticket holder. Your life revolves around Steelers football. Your girlfriend has the latitude and longitude of Acrisure Stadium tattooed on her body. You tell people that if they schedule a Sunday wedding and there's a Steelers game, you're no longer friends. You are obsessed with this team. Do we come off as spoiled when we bitch and complain about 9-8 seasons? The fact that we have such a pessimistic fan base, according to The Athletic, and we're getting upset over 9-8 and 10-7, is that a bad representation of us as fans?
No. I mean, I just think it all comes down to the fans that think we are spoiled and pessimistic about everything because it's all about expectation. I mean, imagine if you told Chiefs fans after this run that they would not get back to any Super Bowls, they would make the playoffs every other year, I think is fair to say, but they would look mostly not competitive in a wild card game. I don't think they'd be very happy with that. I think if you say that to a Jets fan per se, which there is a guy I used to work with, a big Jets fan, he says it all the time, how spoiled Pittsburgh Steelers fans are because his Jets win, what, 5 to 6 games a year at best? They haven't hosted a playoff game in 21 years. Like, yes. It all depends on the fan base for me.
But the expectation shouldn't be, are you better than the 5 or 10 most historically bad franchises in the NFL?
That's what I'm saying. The expectation here should be team that, okay, maybe saying they win the Super Bowl is unrealistic.
There's 20 teams.
There's
20 teams that Jets fans could be jealous of. And we happen to be one of them. But it's a long line of teams. There's a lot of people in that team picture. Is my point.
The Steelers' legacy and the standard they talk about should be a whole lot more than what it is.
So the standard is no longer the standard.
The Athletic says that Steelers fans are very pessimistic and are unhappy with 9-8 seasons and merely making the playoffs. Is that proof that we're a spoiled fan base, or is that the right way of feeling about this? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. We'll take some calls on this. Ross Tucker, who will call games for the NFL on CBS this year, is part of our Odyssey team, former NFL player, has his own podcast. He had this to say about this very discussion.
They feel like an 8 or 9 win team. I think it's interesting because if you're a Steelers fan, you're probably starting to feel like every year the Steelers are an 8 or 9 win team. And you're almost kind of getting sick of it. I would just say to you, I understand that mindset. However, they keep making the playoffs. They win 10 games last year with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph and make the playoffs. It's pretty impressive, actually, what they've been able to do with their quarterbacks. I think you're still in a situation where you don't have a top 15 quarterback. To have winning seasons without a top 15 quarterback is good.
I think barely clearing the bar in professional sports or even college sports is the most overrated thing that some fans wax poetic about. Going 6-6 and getting to a bowl game every year, or 7-5 and ending up in Detroit for a bowl game or Charlotte, and you do that every year, that's not fun. If the Penguins just made the Stanley Cup playoffs every year and lost in the first round every year, that's not fun. If the Pirates went to a one-game wild card like they did in 14 and 15 and lost the game every year, that's not fun. Like, the that Steelers deja have, vu of being, like, competitive in air quotes and being kind of relevant because you're in the playoffs, if you're just invited to the party but no hot girls come up to you and want to talk and you don't get any drinks served, what the hell's the point of just being there?
Is that you in college?
No.
You were putting out the classified ads in... on Facebook walls back then.
Yes.
Putting out the vibe. Steelers have the 9th longest playoff win drought in the NFL. Donnie, can you name the teams that have gone longer than the Steelers 7 seasons without a playoff win?
I actually can.
Well, I know the Dolphins are the most.
Dolphins are the most, 23 years.
Jets haven't won in like 15. Since.
13 years. There's two between.
Commanders.
Commanders at 18 years.
They last won against the Bucks in like 05 or something.
Yep. 05 wild card. Very good. One more team between the Commanders and the Dolphins.
I know who it is.
I'm probably tapped here. I don't want to take up too much
Rich
time.
Rich Gannon and the Las
the
Vegas,
Raiders.
Then Oakland Raiders. The Bears.
Pride of Delaware, Rich Gannon.
Bears at 13 years, Cardinals, Panthers, Broncos at 8 years. So you are in the bottom third of the NFL in terms of teams who have not, you know, how long you've gone without a playoff win. Ross is a super smart guy, and I like
Ivy League school.
He went to an Ivy League. You were accepted to 3 Ivy Leagues. I am a mere product of the state school system. But I just, when he says something, like it's like he's so close to getting it. He says, and you know, they're probably getting tired. It feels like a 9 or 8 win team. That's not great. And then he goes, but they keep making the playoffs. It just, it's like you're right there. The point is that they don't do anything, but he still, as you said, hops over that low bar for them and says that's pretty good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
November 17th on Baltimore, at Cleveland, at Cincinnati, at Philadelphia.
Ooh.
At Baltimore, Kansas City, Cincinnati. Their last eight games, they play nothing but the division.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And their two games out of the division are Chiefs and Eagles.
Yeah. Well, 3:15, time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact Buell. That was Chris Russo on First Take today, explaining why the Steelers won't make the playoffs. ESPN only gives them a 29% chance, but at the same token, when this comes up, the national media says, well, so if Tomlin makes the playoffs or goes 9-8, build him a statue, put him on high because he will have exceeded expectations given some of the obstacles in their way. Also there, I don't understand how Chris Russo can't pronounce Baltimore correctly.
I'm sorry.
I don't get it. I've never heard another human being say it that way.
November 17th on Baltimore.
Baltimore.
I don't get
he sounds
that.
Like he's saying a Harry Potter character, Voldemort.
It also sounded like he said Philadelphia a little bit.
Well, he screwed that up at first and then he got it.
November 17th on Baltimore.
I don't get that.
Baltimore.
I don't.
Baltimore. He doesn't even hit an L sound in there.
We all have words maybe that we say a little bit kooky or a little bit off, but that one.
I can't say rural route very well.
That one is just so
Baltimore.
Strange to me. We had a robust debate at our house over the weekend about creek versus crick. We got into
creek.
One of those.
It's a creek. I mean, it's a crick if you want to sound folksy, but it's a creek.
Donnie, was John Football a crick guy?
I think he was Creek,
yeah.
But we joke around because my mom is from
Turtle Creek.
Turtle Creek.
Oh.
Call Arnold Slick.
So wait, do Turtle Creek residents say Turtle Creek?
I would.
It might be a Latrobe, Latrobe thing. Who knows?
Wasn't the whole story with Latrobe that the actual people from there just call it Latrobe?
Well, Arnold Palmer said Latrobe, and I think that poisoned the well
everybody.
For people. Yeah.
And then there's Lancaster or Lancaster.
Isn't that where Bostic's from?
Yeah. Could text Pat, how do you actually say your
November
hometown?
November 17th on Baltimore.
Baltimore. I'm sorry. I was reading Barnwell today, Pony. Bill
Barnwell.
Yeah,
he wrote this piece on how he thinks the Steelers are definitely going to miss the playoffs.
But what is the very first sentence when he references Tomlin, and I know you have that piece printed out.
Even if you believe the Steelers are incapable of posting a losing record under Tomlin, we've seen this team miss the postseason.
Next paragraph.
Tomlin will need to call on all his powers here.
That is what gets me, okay?
His sorcery, his Tomlin
magic.
No,
that's what gets me. And I think on this show, I am more favorable to Mike than you are.
That is the external view of Tomlin, that he has to go to magic tricks to get them in the playoffs.
But here's what bothers me about that. Here's what gets me and sticks in my craw. I think I'm going to be able to articulate it nice and concisely.
Where is the craw, by the way?
Oh, right in here. Right in the side of your
Donnie,
jaw.
Where's the craw? Could you go to
a
doctor and say,
if something was stuck in your mouth, you could spit it out. So it's got to be in a place where it's hard to get it out, right?
Your rear end?
No, I could reach around and pick something out of there. If I had it's always a sharp thing,
Doc,
too. Doc,
I got
stuck
something
in
my craw.
Right.
Remember the guy from Jackass when he put a Hot Wheel in his butt?
I think it's got to be right in the back, middle of your back where it's very
Did
difficult
you ever see
to
that?
Get to it. Steve-O, he put the Hot Wheel up his butt.
And then he went and they got an x-ray of it.
Yeah,
and
he had a Hot Wheel in his rectum.
It's incredible.
Steve-O, what a guy. Clean now, too. Clean and sober. Which is good for
but
him.
But still, you could tell some hard living went
on
there.
Oh, very hard living. No. So Barnwell's a smart dude. He's one of the many people who has accepted that the NFL is a passing league, is more of a finesse league, all this other stuff. You can read a lot of Bill's writing and learn a lot about football. You really can. And he talks to people. He's got access to people. How, like, what I cannot square about Mike is Mike has a, pretty much is the final word on what actually goes out onto the field. Mike is a defense-first guy. Mike also has significant influence in roster construction, as any coach as long-tenured as he is should have at that point. He is part of the problem. The magic he has to call upon here to over, you know, to the situation he's got to use magic to overcome is one partially of his own creation.
Yep.
And it's just, it's like guys like Barnwell just don't want to take the final step of saying Mike is a big part of his own problem. The only guy that did it recently was Kyle Brandt.
Yep. Here's Mike on the fan. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. About Tomlin, and me being a spoiled fan, it just seems like he just can't get off his script. And Pony, when you mentioned when Shazier got hurt, it's like we got to stick to the script. We're not going to pay attention to the strengths of the team. Listen to this four-man front. To me, when Shazier got hurt, the answer to replacing him was don't, because you had Tuitt, Hargrave, Cam, and a young Alualu. That's an awesome four-man front. And, oh, by the way, now we've got bodies blocking the A-gap, which we're always susceptible to. Oh, we have outside linebackers that might be able to cover the slant now if we can get pressure with four. But I feel like he just – and look, you fast forward to today, like Leo, his strength, he's an outside defensive end.
So the idea that when the outside world says Steelers fans should be happy with or take 9 wins this year, what is your reaction to that, Mike?
I am spoiled. I expect more. I guess I just expect more because we have so much talent.
Understand how that makes us spoiled, though, that we expect more. If they had won the AFC 2 out of the last 3 years or something, and great players retired or left in free agency or something, and we were still holding them to that standard, that's different. You know, if in like 1982, if I'm on the air and I'm saying, this is a joke, we're getting blown out by the Raiders in the playoffs, fire everybody. After they had just, you know, become the most dynastic team in modern era history, that's one thing. They haven't won a playoff game since 2016.
I'm tired
so
of
just
the,
treading water ain't cool anymore,
well,
man.
Well, I'm tired of the... not only is treading water not cool, treading water is actively bad. I don't like the narrative that occasionally gets talked about where it is laudable that he never has a losing season. The Patriots are pretty much the team of this century without question.
Unfortunately, I agree with you.
Well, there's just no way to disagree. The numbers back it up. They don't lie, and they spell disaster for you at sacrifice. And they just had the 3rd overall pick in the draft because they were rancid and got the 3rd pick. It's virtuous to be so bad you have access to the one transformative position on the field, just a chance to
well,
draft
that's how
a
they
guy.
Got Ben. Beer Bar, one of our road spots when we play away games. Their Beer of the Month is out. It's Altered Genius Brewing's Rescue Kolsch, and it benefits the Humane Animal Rescue of Pittsburgh. So go get that today. Good place to go watch the games on Sunday. Steelers and Falcons, Atlanta, a 3-point favorite. Mike Florio got the people talking with his Dak Prescott article. Dak still doesn't have a contract extension in Dallas. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen. And he has a clause in his deal where they can't franchise tag him, so he will be an unrestricted free agent. He will be the next guy to test the market, a la Kirk Cousins, the last 2 times with Minnesota and Atlanta. Mike Florio brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. And Mike, I mean, you traffic in a lot of informed speculation. You do a great job at that. You put the Steelers on the list of potential landing spots for Dak in 2025.
Well, it was just a matter of going through the 8 divisions, looking at the teams, and asking the very simple question of whether or not they're going to be in a market for a quarterback after this season. And with the Steelers, we assume it's going to be Russell Wilson or Justin Fields in 2025, but there's a chance, like we saw this year, the entire depth chart gets blown up and they find somebody who's available, and Prescott's going to be available to go anywhere he wants for any contract he wants to sign. And the thing that would be beautiful would be for Dak to do the team-friendly deal he refuses to do with the Cowboys, to do with a team like the Steelers, to kind of stick it to the Cowboys, but also to set himself up with a roster around him that could get him to where he's been trying to go ever since he entered the NFL in 2016.
Mike, why do you think it is? I know you mentioned team-friendly deal with Dallas that he didn't want to do, but why do you think it is that the Cowboys don't want to pay Dak Prescott a market value deal or are unwilling to do so, however you want to term it?
One of the big issues is the escape hatch. And all of these contracts, you know, we see the numbers that get leaked to the information robots that have the news 5 minutes before it's announced to the world anyway. And we don't see until the deal comes out exactly when the team can get away. For Daniel Jones, for example, after the first 2 years of his deal, the Giants can get out. The Raiders and Derek Carr had a contract a couple of years ago. After 1 year, the Raiders got out. The Seahawks deal for Geno Smith is a year-to-year deal. The Cowboys were looking for and have been looking for, I'm told, an out after 2 years. And so that's one of the issues. And then you get into just the raw dollars. How many dollars do you want to devote to the quarterback position when your quarterback has not yet taken you to even an NFC championship, and how much of it is his fault? And look, people are talking about $60 million a year for Dak. He hits the open market. It could be 65. It could be 70 million. All it takes is one team, and the cap keeps going up and up. The money keeps going up and up. We saw the Browns do a ridiculously stupid in hindsight deal for Deshaun Watson. They gave him that money, and they had to give up 3 first-round picks and 3 other picks. This is a guy that is unrestricted, unfettered, with no compensation. You get a guy like that that comes to the market, there's a chance the market goes crazy. And the only way it doesn't is if collusion is real in the NFL, and plenty of people think it is, where teams will have a hard cap on what they'll pay, or teams will extend a professional courtesy, a gentleman's agreement, whatever the case may be, and not take someone like Dak Prescott if he hits the market. I'll believe that when I see it. I mean, Dak Prescott moves the needle enough that there's going to be one team out there that is willing to pay him what the Cowboys aren't if and when he hits the market.
Mike Florio with us. Mike, do you think that the Steelers' 2025 quarterback is on their roster right now?
We're going to find out, and we're going to find out 1 week at a time. And, you know, I probably said this last week after the news came out that Russell Wilson was the starter. The schedule plays out perfectly to give him the first half of the season and see where we are when we get to the bye week in week 9. 3-5 or worse, maybe Justin Fields takes over. 4-4 or better, Russ keeps going. And it all depends upon which guy gets the chances, who does well, how the team does. There's a chance none of them could be back next year, especially after we just saw the Steelers do it this year. I wouldn't have thought the Steelers would have pulled the plug on their entire depth chart, especially Kenny Pickett with the 4-year contract, but they did. And if they did it last year, they'll do it this year if they think it's in their best interest to find somebody other than who they have.
Do you think they're making a mistake by not trying to get Fields to sign a bridge deal now before the season even starts to guarantee themselves one of these guys for next year?
But if I'm Fields, why would I do it? Unless it has
clauses. What was the market for Fields this offseason? That would be the rebuttal, right? I mean,
if I'm Fields, I'll become a free agent and I'll just see how the world plays out. Because what are you going to pay me as? You're going to pay me as a backup? You're going to pay me as a starter? Are you going to do some funky deal that has my compensation tied to how many games I play? Justin Fields. Yeah, if I'm Justin Fields, I'd just say the hell with it. I'll take my chances and become a free agent.
Mike, how prudent is this approach the Steelers are taking to the quarterback position overall, in your opinion? Just here's a cast-off guy from the Broncos in his mid-30s. Here's a guy who failed in stop number one. How prudent is it to go about trying to fill the most important position on the field the way they're trying to do it?
I'm not willing to say Justin Fields failed in stop number one. I think the Bears had a chance to get something they haven't had since Sid Luckman, a franchise quarterback. And once they saw what they were going to get in Caleb Williams, sorry, Justin, we're not going to give you a fourth year. You've shown us some things you can do well. There's other areas where you need work. We're just moving on, and that's that. So, and with Russ, if they can create around him the same vibe, the same formula that they had in Seattle, he can get back to being something like what he was there. He got it in his head. Because think about it. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL the middle of last decade. And then in comes Patrick Mahomes, and in comes Josh Allen. And before you know it, Russell is slipping down the stack of the best quarterbacks in football through no fault of his own. These other guys are better. Why are they better? Well, the offense runs through them. They get to do all this stuff. And Russ is basically, you know, shackled by the Seahawks' love of running the ball and playing defense and being conservative. He wanted to be Mahomes or Allen, and he found out after 2 years in Denver that's not who he is. They get him back to being what he was in Seattle, he can be successful again. And Mike Tomlin clearly believes it. The fact that Mike Tomlin didn't bother to call Sean Payton tells me everything I need to know. They view the last 2 years as an aberration, and they think they can make Russell Wilson into who he was in Seattle.
Well, he's going to feel right at home if conservative and winning with running the ball and defense is what they did in Seattle, because I think that's going to be the script here.
And it worked. It worked. That's the thing. It worked.
But it worked for like 27-year-old Russ. How's it going to work for 35-year-old Russ?
We'll find out when Russ has to run. But, you know, he has a beautiful deep ball.
Yes, he does.
And when you have the running game working, you can set up play action. You can set up a flea flicker. And there goes George Pickens down the field, and they throw the ball to him. And even if he's double covered, you throw him the ball and let him go get it. I mean, the fact that Russ can do that and still do that, that arm is still there. The mobility is the question. When he gets flushed out of the pocket, what can he do to extend plays? He did a lot of the stuff that we see Mahomes do that looks a lot more entertaining and dramatic when Mahomes does it, because it's like his hair's on fire. Russ does it more smoothly and more efficiently when he can do it. That's what we haven't seen yet because I think of the calf injury. When he's 100%, if he's 100%, we'll get an idea of what he can do to extend plays and get away from the rush if and when he has to. Because he can do it when he has to, but you can't make him the centerpiece of the offense as the Broncos found out.
Mike, moment of truth. We're asking all of our regular guests to do this. Your Steelers 2024 record prediction.
I think they're going to be 9-8 and miss the playoffs. I'm not ready to go 8-9 because they've never had a losing record. That schedule on the back half from week 11 through week 18 is murderer's row. And I think it's going to be one loss too many to get into the playoff field in a very difficult AFC.
Will you lavish praise on Tomlin for getting this team to 9 wins with the schedule?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I will continue to mock the people that want to fire him after he loses 2 or 3 games in a row.
Well, then we are in store for some mocking in about October.
I'm going to put on my dunce cap in advance of this,
you know,
Mike.
Part of me wants to see him get fired just so you guys can see how quickly he lands somewhere else. There will be teams that fire their coaches for a shot at Mike Tomlin if he's fired.
And if those teams have an already in-place elite quarterback, he'll probably do well there.
And if one of those staffs has like a young whippersnapper offensive coordinator that gets put on the street because of that, well, then I will gladly take him in a heartbeat as this team's head coach.
Maybe it's Dak next year. Maybe the franchise quarterback comes to Pittsburgh to take us back to where we started.
Mike, great stuff. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Good to see you guys.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.